Thursday, May 16th, 2024. This is the Hermetic Hour. I'm your host, Poke Runyon, and tonight we will review and discuss Russian philosopher Alexander Dugin's relation to traditional Hermeticism, theosophy, the Nazi version thereof, and occult themes influencing his geopolitical Eurasia movement, which seems to have evolved into a chaos magic doomsday cult. Now, we will also review his insightful critique of Western Anglo-Saxon individualistic liberalism as presented in an interview with a controversial podcaster. Our other sources are The American Empire Should Be Destroyed, 2014, by James D. Heiser, and Dugin Against Dugin, a traditionalist critique of the fourth political theory, published in 2018 by Charles Upton. We will also discuss the temporary slandering of the Hermetic tradition in America, linking it to Marxism, by James Lindsay, an assumption which is expertly refuted by Dr. Justin Sledge of Esoterica. So, if you want to meet the man they call Putin's Rasputin, join us and we will lift the veil. Okay, now, to get a kind of an overview of Dugin, let's go to another book published in 97 called The Occult in Russian and Soviet Culture. And this is edited by Bernice Glaster Rosenthal. Now, I'm going to go to her write-up on Dugin. That's on page 241. And this is a section called Politicized Occultism in Contemporary Russia. Now, remember, this book was published in 1997. And Arosophy is being recycled by Alexander Dugin. Now, Arosophy is Rudolf Steiner's version of Blavatsky's Theosophy. And it's being recycled by Alexander Dugin, who combines it with Eurasianism, sacred geography, conspiracy, and fascism and Nazism. Now, his publishing firm, Arcologica, and she says List's firm was Artogaga, brings out two illustrated journals, Elementi and Elements of the Eurasian Survey, and Neil and Eurangel, comprised of articles by Dugin and like-minded Russian translations of works by Western ultra-conservatives and fascists. Almost every issue contains something by Julius Evola, and he was an Italian who wrote, was born in 1898 and died in 1947. He was an Italian who wrote occult books on kind of supporting fascism, who used fascism and Western occult doctrines, Hindu cosmic cycles, tantric yoga. Another favorite is René Guénon. That's the French astrologer and occultist, 1886-1951, who attempted to infuse the Western occult tradition, that's esoteric Christianity, Hermeticism, and alchemy, with Hindu, Taoist, and Islamic mysticism, and ultimately converted to Islam. Nietzsche is frequently quoted, and the cover illustration of the fourth issue of Elementi features the head of a stern-faced Aryan type, but with slanted eyes and a hint of a Mandarin's mustache. On his helmet is a sun wheel, the Lebensborn symbol, and that was the Nazi child indoctrination cult. And wings come out of his head, and above his head are the four hammers and sickles arranged in the form of a swastika. In a 1995 interview, Dugin described himself as a conservative revolutionary and a national Bolshevik. He calls Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin conservative revolutionaries and believes that Russia and Germany will be the supreme powers of a united Eurasia that stretches from Dublin to Vladivostok. The southern boundary is not clear. It could be the Indian Ocean. Going well beyond the Russo-Mongol symbiosis praised by the original European Eurasianists, Dugin envisions a union of Russia, the Islamic world, China, and other Asiatic nations. Dugin's sacral geography is based on Blavatsky's root races, her version of the Hyperborean legend, Eurasianism, and Karl Haushofer's geopolitics. Remember Karl Haushofer from Morning of the Magicians, some of you. Geopolitics and conspiriology. The ancient Greeks had a legend of Hyperborea, a land of perpetual sun beyond the north wind. Blavatsky said that Hyperborea was the home of the second root race before the Lemurians and the Atlanteans, and Dugin claims that it was the home of the Sun People and was located in what was now northern Russia. And some Russian fascists maintain that Russians were the first Aryans. But Dugin talks more about cultural spiritual types, the Sun People and the Moon People, than about Aryans per se. Sun People are creative, energetic, and spiritual. Moon People are materialistic and deeply conservative. Conservatism is not always a fault, Dugin sometimes refers to sacral conservatism. But materialism is Dugin's spirituality, and he is more pagan than Christian. Dugin posits an eternal eschatological struggle between continental and sea powers, which takes the form of a geopolitical conspiracy of Atlantis. That's the Judeo, the Atlantis of Atlantia, of Atlantis, or the Judeo-Masonic conspiracy, and the Eurasians. And the arch enemy of the present-day Russia is not the Romano-German world, but America and the New World Order, personified on the cover of Elementi's second issue, 1992, as a demon. And that cover was our familiar Baphomet, the one that's, you know, is drawn by Ulfus Levy, the goat with Salovey on one arm and Caligula on the other, and the phallus in the middle. And that was on the second edition of Elementi, and that was 1992. This picture titled Baphomet, after the idol supposedly worshipped by the Knights Templar, first appeared in Ulfus Levy's Dogma of High Magic, and that was 1856, and has been reproduced many times. Sergei Nilis included it in his 1917 edition of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Instead of Ulfus Levy, Dugin put Noyev Mirov Pyodok, New World Order, and then replaced some Russian letters with the Hebrew ones. But subtly, in a kind of subliminal suggestion, aspects of Eurasianism and of Gumilev's varieties of biocosmism and have been taken up by the national Bolshevik politicians such as Gennady Zyuganov and Vladimir Zhirinovsky. Another phenomenon by no means confined to the radical right is an occult version of the Russian idea, a new form of Russian messiahism that extols Russia's spiritual superiority over the materialistic West. Rejection of materialism is not necessarily a cult, but it is part of the constellation of occult ideas we have been discussing. One reason for his popularity is that he wrote that Russian spirituality will benefit the whole world. Contemporary Russian astrologers quote Alice Bailey, an American astrologer, who predicted that out of Russia will emerge a new magical religion. Cosmism is very much in vogue, partly because of its Russian genealogy. Valentin Kukulev maintains that the roots of the New Age movement are undoubtedly in Russia. He predicts the third culture that in its different form and superior Marxism and liberalism. Such views recall the Slavophile position that Russia must not merely imitate the West, but find its own path. They are also chillingly reminiscent of the claims of Italian fascists to have found an alternative to communism and capitalism. Claims that Dugin and contemporary neo-fascists echo. And that concludes the entry in occult Russian Soviet culture. Now, regarding this interview that Dugin had with our controversial podcaster, and I'm not going to mention his name, our controversial podcaster interviewed Dugin, and he asked him, what do you think is the problem that America is having right now? Why is America in this terrible situation that we're in right now? And he meant our political situation. And Dugin said, your problem in America and in the entire English speaking world, and he's including England and you know, parts of South Africa and New Zealand and Australia and all of us, he says, your problem is individualism. And oh boy, when he said that, you know, my ears perked up when he said, your problem's individualism. He said, it goes all the way back to your British philosophers, John Locke and others, this individualism. And that was what was behind the American Revolution. And then that spread, and this individualism, he said, what happened was that you started rebelling. You rebelled against monarchies, and then you rebelled, and then once you started this cycle of rebellion, you continued the cycle of rebellion, and you just continued to rebel and rebel and rebel. And then he said, finally, rebellion defines your liberalism, and that's all you did was just rebel, and you rebelled against, you finally rebelled against gender, you rebelled against humanity. And he said, you people don't even want to be human beings anymore. You want to give everything up and take the pill and let artificial intelligence run your whole civilization. He said, you're finished. You've rebelled yourself all the way to the end. And you know, I got to thinking when I was listening to this, and I was thinking, doggone it, what he has said sounds very, very much like the way Crowley Stalema evolved finally into chaos magic. And then sure enough, I start doing more research on Dugin, and I find out that not only is he influenced by Crowley, but he's carried this Eurasianism of his to the point where it's now a doomsday cult, and it's millenarian. And when I say millenarian, that's an anthropological term for a doomsday cult. And so many of these fundamental Christian denominations, like Seventh-day Adventism and Jehovah's Witnesses, and so many of these fundamentalist cults have evolved into millenarian. And the reason why they call it millenarian is Miller, a religious prophet by the name of Miller, back in the 19th century. He was the first of the modern doomsday cults. And Miller kept predicting the world's going to end on such and such a date, and all of his followers would get out of the mountaintop on that date, and of course it wouldn't happen. The sun would come up the next morning, and Miller did this about three or four times before people finally got tired of him. So ever since then, these kind of cults evolving into this doomsday thing, they call them millenarian cults. And that's what Dugin's Eurasian cult has become. And that is very scary because Russia has a tremendous number of intercontinental ballistic missiles. And if they're going to start believing that the end of the world is coming, we really don't want them having a belief and bringing on the apocalypse, you know. And those of you who remember from our movie Beyond Lemuria, you know, dear old Ed Sitch, who just passed away recently, he was playing Reverend Rich, and he's talking about bringing on the apocalypse. Let's bring it on, you know. And God will know His own. And this is one of the very scary things about Dugin's philosophy, is the fact that it has, in some instances, and yet Dugin, bless his heart, he has said that, well, this is kind of metaphoric, so he backs out of it, you know. He said, oh, it's kind of metaphoric, I'm talking about the end of the world, the end of days. And if he says it's metaphoric, what he's really saying is, oh, we're not gonna press the button, you know. But still, it's kind of it kind of makes you wonder anyway. But Crowley did have an influence on him, and Rene Guénon, the French astrologer and mystic, eventually become, you know, tried to roll all these themes together, and Rene Guénon eventually became a Muslim. Now, there's two books that I mentioned that I really referred to before we did this podcast. And one of them is a book called Dugin Against Dugin. And this book, I really recommend it. This book is by Charles Upton. And Charles Upton is an old hippie. And he went through the whole peace movement, you know, Ban the Bomb, and the Vietnam protest movement. All, and he's an old hippie and very, very much was very much of a left wing liberal, but he also, like Guénon, he really liked René Guénon, the French astrologer and magician, and like Guénon, Charlie Upton became a Sufi, and he's still with us, and he's still Sufing, and my wife thought that was funny. Anyway, but this book, Dugin Against Dugin, a traditionalist critique of the fourth political theory, that's Dugin's theory, and this book came out just a few years ago. Let's see. When's the date? 2018. So it's very current. This Dugin Against Dugin by Charles Upton. It's a door stopper. It's a big one, but I really recommend it. It's really excellent. And Dugin, by the way, agrees with a lot of Upton agrees with a lot of Dugin's ideas. And as far as I'm concerned, the way Dugin described our contemporary left-wing liberal situation, you know, getting all the way to where we were rebelling against gender, and we're rebelling against sex, and we're rebelling against, and women are rebelling against men, and we're rebelling against humanity, and we're just going to take the pill and let the matrix, let the agents, you know, the artificial intelligence run our lives. And also Dugin said, when he was promoting this on the interview, Dugin said, you know, Hollywood, your motion pictures are describing what you people really want to have. And And, you know, he's talking about the Terminator and the zombie apocalypse and all these trashy future movies that we have, you know, the Hunger Games and all this stuff. That this is what we want. We've been preaching. Our media have been preaching an apocalypse. And so I guess in a way, Dugin's doomsday, when he finally backs down and says, oh, well, this is metaphoric. Okay, well, then we could say that all our Hollywood movies about the zombie apocalypse and all the rest of this, that's all metaphoric. God, I hope so, because I really don't want the world to end, and I don't think any of you do either. But this is Dugin's view. Now let's get to the meat of this. Dugin claims to be a traditionalist and a hermeticist. He says he's into a hermeticism, and of course Blavatsky, you know, as you remember, tried to take over hermeticism, and so much of Blavatsky's corpus ended up being adopted by the Nazis, and Blavatsky's occult racism and all this, and so Dugin, and I want to make it clear that the Golden Dawn tradition is classical hermeticism, and the Golden Dawn tradition is not Thelemic. It is absolutely not Thelemic. Billy Yates, you know, expelled Crowley from the Golden Dawn. Crowley was a maverick, and Crowley did not support the Isis and Osiris formula of the Golden Dawn. He created his Horus formula, and the Isis and Osiris formula is essentially Rosicrucian. It's basically Christian, and that's metaphoric, of course, but it is, and therefore you can be Rosicrucians can be Christian, and so Dugin is kind of promoting that, or saying that he is, that he goes along with Russian Orthodox Christianity, but he says that he means that only in the sense that Christianity is conservative. It's a structure. It's cultural. It's the Russian culture. Russian culture is Russian Orthodox Christianity, and of course, in our culture, what's our Western culture? We almost given up on the Catholic Church. I mean, but and all the Protestants, the Protestants, they can't get along with each other. Everybody's protesting in all directions. But we still think this is a Christian nation, but it's not really. But anyway, Dugin is a traditionalist in both the Hermetic and the Christian sense, and so therefore he would be technically a Rosicrucian, but he's also, and as you could imagine, he's also been a Satanist and he's promoted Nazi causes and all of this kind of stuff. So, and he's a warmonger. He definitely believes that war is the father of all things, according to Alexander Dugin. And of course, that is kind of scary, because his protege, Vladimir Putin, Tsar Putin, has got his finger on the button, and Dugin is talking about doomsday and talking about war is the father of all things and whatever. And so we should be worried about Dugin. We really should. And yet, on the other hand, we should certainly not, certainly not ignore him. And that ignoring him, he's not going to go away. And anyway, I said that we would also discuss the Hermetic tradition in America as being linked to Marxism by James Lindsay. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen James Lindsay's videos, but James Lindsay is he says he has a PhD. I don't know where that comes from, but But anyway, he's primarily a fundamental Christian. And he one of these people that is very, very well read and you know, reads everything and all that, and yet claims he's not an intellectual. And James Lindsay says that Hermeticism is Gnostic. And he says it's Gnostic, and that's wrong, but he says that. And he says Hermeticism is Gnostic, and that it is one of the things that's eating away at our morality and destroying our culture and whatever. It is, and he also says that it's linked to Marxism. Now that is not true at all. And we have a wonderful Hermetic podcast that is run by a Jewish professor who is a Marxist, and that's Dr. Justin Sledge, and he has a wonderful podcast called Esoterica, which I strongly recommend to everybody. And Dr. Justin debunked this idea that Hermeticism is Marxist. He said he ran through the whole thing, and he said Hermeticism has nothing to do with Marxism, and the only thing Hermeticism has to do with Marxism is it is just like Marxism. It is Hegelian, and he's right about that. And Hegel, of course, is the philosopher who developed the idea of thesis and synthesis and antithesis, you know, and that from this devolves chaos theory. And chaos magic, of course, also evolves from this. But so Hermeticism also does have a Hegelian thing to it, so does Marx. Marx studied Hegel under a mentor of his, and so Marxism is Hegelian, but basically Hegel's philosophy is synthesis, a thesis, synthesis, and antithesis, and it's, you know, kind of, I once described chaos theory as boom titty boom titty boom titty boom titty boom titty boom boom. That's the soundtrack of chaos theory. But anyway, so Justin Sledge completely demolished this argument of Lindsay, but he didn't mention Lindsay, but he demolished the argument for one thing, Hermetic philosophy, you could call it a form of Gnosticism, but it's really not Gnostic. Hermetic philosophy is a blend of Gnosticism and Neoplatonism. And the Neoplatonist part of that is positive, is the world's a wonderful place, and it's beautiful, and nature is beautiful, and we align ourselves with nature. That is Neoplatonism, but Gnosticism is the world and the body is a prison, and you have to escape and go to higher, you know. But Christianity, and this is something that most Christian philosophers, if there really are any, they realize this. Christianity is really the formula of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that is pure Gnosticism. The Father is the hidden God, at the beginning of the universe. The Son is the messenger who comes down to tell all of the people who are supposedly imprisoned by the demiurge on the planet, this planet or any other planet, and they all have a spark of the hidden God in them. And the Paraclete or the Christos comes from the hidden God and says, "Hey, you guys, wake up! You got to get loose from this body and this and this planet. And when you pass on, you're going to reincarnate, and you're going to go on to a better future and everything else. And this is, Christianity was originally, of course, believed in reincarnation, Hermeticism, as I said, is a mixture of, and it partakes of both philosophies, both Gnosticism and Neoplatonism in just about equal doses. And the big thing with Neoplatonism is the power and the magic of Neoplatonism was used by George Lucas in Star Wars. Use the Force, Luke. The force of Star Wars is the hidden God in everybody. That if you're a really good Gnostic, you know if you've done your work with Yoda, then you become a Jedi, then you can manipulate the Force. You know, so now in reviewing Dugan's philosophy, yes, it does partake of Hermeticism, and yet, I mentioned that it was the Nazi version of theosophy, and let me clarify that a little bit. Dugan followed Guido von List, who was an early German runic philosopher, and died before World War I, and then later Lanz Liebenfels, who picked up after Guido von List. And Lanz Liebenfels started a new Templar organization. Now, how much Lanz Liebenfels actually drew from Otto Rand, the guy who Indiana Jones was modeled after, Lanz Liebenfels owed to Otto Rand, I don't know. But of course, Otto Rand's crusade against the Grail is really, regardless of the fact that he was a reluctant Nazi. He was an archaeologist, and Himmler just literally drafted him into the SS. But his book, Crusade Against the Grail, is wonderful. And Wolfram von Eschenbach's 11th Century Parseval, that is one of the best mystical books that we have. But these, I don't notice anything in all my reading on Dugan. I don't notice anything about Otto Rahn or Lanz Liebenfels or Parseval. And I don't think he's into that at all. And we certainly are not connected in any way with any of Dugan's. What Dugan's talking about, the Hermetic tradition is not, the Golden Dawn is not, and the Golden Dawn is not, has no connection with Crowley. Now, I know there are so-called polemic Golden Dawns, but that's not, the regular Golden Dawn is the Isis and Osiris current, and that is purely Rosicrucian. So, I want to reiterate that James Lindsay's assumption that Hermetic tradition is linked with Marxism is absolutely untrue. It's not. And even though Dugan, I agree with some of Dugan's ideas, and of course so does Charles Upton. But even though we agree with some of his ideas, that doesn't mean we're supporting him. And we certainly are worried that he has taken an anti-American stance. I recommend Dugan Against Dugan by Charles Upton. It's a big one. And then if you want a smaller book on Dugan and the issues, it's kind of a wrap up of everything that Upton says. Then you can get The American Empire Should Be Destroyed, and this is by James D. Heiser. And this is a small little book. It's let's see, it's only 126 pages long, and you can read it, you know, you can read this in one night, and that's the small one. This will recap most of the things that we've been discussing tonight. And in any case, this should give you a pretty good idea of the Russian Eurasian cult and what we should worry about and what we should listen to, because his critique on our the decay of our liberalism is certainly worth paying attention to. And so next week, more on the Hermetic Mysteries, and until then, good magic.